The New Balance Furon V8. Crafted for speed. Tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. Experience-engineered minimalism at its finest and fastest. We updated the Furon V8 for even faster performance on the pitch. Same ultra-lightweight, precision strike-focused design. Now with even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud supports control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players, like Saka himself. Step up your game in the new Furon V8. Learn more and get yours at newbalance.com/soccer.
Off the ball, GAA.
The story out there was that they were the tough team, Tipperary. They were the team all the steel, because we were kind of the aristocrats, the team with all the skill.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball, in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the Koi Gig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to look back on another international window. I suppose we'll call it a successful one because it did come with two wins, but not maybe what we expected from it. Joining me to talk about last night's game and what is to come in the future is Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron. Guys, you are both very welcome. We are back with a bang. Is that what we're saying after Slovenia?
Oh. Don't know how much of a bang it is now, to be honest.
Yeah, it was. You were both there in Tala last night. Obviously, it's this first game in a long time at home that I haven't been to. But it was. It started so well. And with opening minutes, we had the Amber Barish penalty. It shouldn't have been a penalty, let's be real. Yeah. It was definitely outside the box. Although, Scarlett, was it you that was a bit like, she landed in the box, so it was okay?
I think it was, if it's on the line, it's kind of like, it's like tennis. If the ball bounces on the line, it's in. So I think it's the same here. Like, I do get why she gave it, but I think it was more Amber was straight over to her to sort of point. I don't know if the ref was actually going to make that call until Amber went over to her, but here, we'll take those.
Yeah, well, it turns out we did need to take it because we didn't really do all that much for the rest of the game, Karen, until that Anna Patton goal.
No, we didn't. Like you say, we were not back with a bang, back with a gentle whimper over the course of the two games, I would say. I don't know what I expected. You know, obviously off the back of such a heavy defeat in Slovenia, a lot of questions were asked and we were saying, okay, we have to answer them in this window. I don't know, did we do that? What I felt after it is that myself, I was probably overly critical because we did get 6 points and that's obviously goal. Like it's a results game. We all know that. That's what we want.
Struggle to get
results.
The word good out there.
Yeah, I didn't want to just say good. So it's a results game, but I think myself looking in, I can see that the players are trying their best and Carla is working on something. But I think, personally, I feel like I need to temper my expectations a little bit now. I do think that we had certain highs in League A where, you know, we had the France game and we had, you know, there was a bit of a buzz created and stuff like that. And we had the days out at the Aviva and, you know, maybe that kind of masked some of where we're at because we've obviously lost Julianne and Nifahi and a lot since then. So it's not easy to just fill those boots. I think we have this expectation now that these young players coming through, they can just do it. And I'm looking in and I'm thinking that like they're trying hard, their effort is there. They've all come professional and stuff, but the game intelligence element for me is still slightly lacking. And I think it's in and around the goal. Yesterday, we just didn't take any chances. I don't think that's a confidence thing. I don't think it's to do too much with, you know, tactics. I just think it's knowing what to do and picking the right moments to do it. And that's why I think we went for Aoife Mannion as player of the match, because she was someone who knew when to pick up the tempo and knew when to slow it down. And I think we need a little bit more of that throughout the team, a little bit more composure if we're going to make the next steps. And that's probably the hardest thing to teach in football. So I myself have kind of dampened my expectations a little bit of the team, not because of effort or ability or anything like that. It's just, I think, where we're at the moment a little bit. There's work to do. I think that's become very evident over the last two windows.
Yeah, and Scarlett, I think we did know that, especially after the Wales games. I suppose, to Karen's point, there definitely does need to be a temper of expectations, but I think we maybe didn't realise how much we had to temper them.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think we spoke about that after the Wales game, and like Karen, you were very strong on it, saying that like that we need a bit of a rebuild, and Carla's going to bring that, and we kind of said like there's not going to be results straight away. It's going to take a while to build in, and even if it doesn't get us to the next World Cup, it's maybe a 4-year plan, and maybe it's just something that needs to happen, and maybe it does have to get worse before it gets better. And I think that Slovenia game was probably the worst part of it, you'd hope, but yeah, I think we had patches where we were good, and then like as Karen said, we're having patches where we're sort of making the wrong decision in the wrong spaces. And I think, yeah, we didn't really get at them a lot. Like, you're looking at that with their back line, and like they're not very strong as a defensive unit at all. I just feel like we didn't trouble them, especially the goalkeeper. I think apart from maybe a save she made by Lucy Quinn in the last 15 minutes, she wasn't really troubled apart from the goals. And then obviously the two goals coming from set pieces, it's obviously great to have like Megan Campbell's delivery to be so pinpoint all the time and the throw-in game and all that. But I think we need to start thinking of ideas and ways to get our teams in open play, maybe get the ball out wide a bit quicker and get it into the box, because I feel like yesterday we were kind of stalling. We'd get to a certain point high up the pitch and we just wait, and then it gives Grace a chance to get back, and instead of that first time ball into the box where it was Amber or Marcia Shiva making a run in, I think that maybe we can just be a bit more critical there.
Yeah, to that point, like, we were reliant on the set pieces and obviously the throw, and we got a goal from a corner. But I think you're right. We're looking at that defence and you think, move it quickly, get it wide, pump it in the box. That defence were so vulnerable. The goalkeeper was vulnerable. And yeah, like, we mightn't have super strong headers coming in, you know, like Leanne Amber. It's not like what they're known for in their game. But looking at their defence and how scrambled they were when they were put under the slightest bit of pressure, we would have picked up second balls. And that's what I mean to about game intelligence, like recognising their deficiencies and capitalising on what we're good at, which is being a bit more direct, being high energy. We had the fitness levels to go at them, I think. Our press was a lot better yesterday than it was on Friday. But you shouldn't always be relying on instructions from the sideline. Obviously you want to implement a game plan, but also you need to recognize those opportunities on pitch. And I think we went central too often and allowed them to bank up. And there was points of the game where I saw Anna Patton up at the edge of the box and we just closed down our own space. You know, we talked about, you know, when you play, I hate the term low block, when someone sits deep, when the team sits deep, like, you have to find a way to pull them out. Adding more and more of our own players into that, just, it doesn't help, particularly when you're not going down the route of trying to cause chaos and bombarding balls into the box. If that's what you're doing, absolutely fine. Have someone pump it in from long and cause the chaos up there. But we were trying to play little passes and we weren't sure of them, because we definitely haven't worked on enough patterns under Carla's tenure to be able to do that yet. And I'm not sure we had the players on the pitch to do that either. I think we missed a little bit of Rusha's guile when it came to like picking out those key passes, but look, at the end of the day they still won, and that's what we take from it. I think this was the perfect window again for Carla, because she can come away from it and say we got 6 points, but we've had another two matches now where we can really identify what needs to be worked on. I think we were so shell-shocked by the Slovenia game, we didn't really know where to start because there was so many elements to work on. But I think there's small areas that we can focus on to go to Turkey with. And I think, like Scarlett said, it's knowing when to go wide and when to whip it in the box and getting numbers in there, knowing when to try and drag teams out, and it's not being over eager in those moments and having the composure. I think though they were evident to us, so you'd hope that someone of Carla's standards, she can pick those things, and she should only concentrate on one or two things at a time, because like I said, we don't have the huge amount of on-field coaching like we had when like Niamh Fahey and all was there. So if we drill in those two or three areas of improvement, we should be overturning a team like Turkey and Slovenia, to be honest, even though I was quite impressed with them.
This week on Diverted.
What have you heard about this festival?
That they fight each other. And some people in the past, they choose to die. So
you say that they choose to die?
Some of them. Because for them, it's not something bad. If somebody die, for the whole community, is like an offering for Pachamama. To say thank you for what they have in life, the products, all this stuff.
In episode 3, we're going to Bolivia. As soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas.
Oh my God. I can actually feel it.
Oh my God.
Go. Oh.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted.
On Off the Ball.
Yeah, I think everyone was quite impressed with them, and they had a fairly decent game against... it was the opposite. It was they had ran into similar problems as we did against Turkey in terms of the result against them, which gives us like a window of hope for that game that's coming up. That one's in Parque Cuiv in June? Is that June 3rd?
The Slovenia one, yeah. We now have to win by 5.
It's fine. It's all fine. Scarlett, in terms of what Karen's saying there and getting the opportunity maybe to see a little bit more, and I know we've focused on maybe some of the more negative sides in, you know, that game intelligence, the ability to maybe think outside the box and not be looking for instructions, whether it's other players around you or from the sidelines. We did also get an opportunity to see quite a few different players over the time. You had the likes of Saoirse Noonan coming on last night, and because of a mixture of injuries and then also obviously Katie's suspension, we had to make those changes. Was there anything positive that you saw coming out of that for us?
Yeah, well, I thought in the game,
even Megan Campbell, how much she played as well. Like, it's been a while.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's great to see her back in, and obviously she offers us so much. I know just her set plays, but also just her intelligence on the pitch, and probably offers that bit of leadership as well as one of the more senior players. But as well, I thought in the first game this window, I thought Jessie Stapleton was really, really, really good. Obviously, she's been playing in midfield when we were under Eileen Gleeson. And I think now centre half has always been her position. I know she's always played a mixture of both, but I think centre half's really where she's utilised best, and I thought she was really impressive, especially in the first game. Just like really calm on the ball, that composure, able to, like, as Karen said, slow the game down when we need to and quicken it up when we need to, and obviously got our goal as well, which is great. It was great to get Saoirse Noonan back on the pitch. It's been a while since obviously she's been back in camp, and I think her performances at Celtic have she's there on merit, like she deserves to be in there. I thought she did really well, sort of like Amber, like really, really good at the hold up play and sort of trying to link up play between the midfielders and the winger. So I thought the two of them were really positive. Obviously, get a bit of consistency in the back four, it'd be good. I know Katie obviously was suspended for that last game, but I think the next thing now, obviously Anna Patton played well last night as well, would be to get that back four solidified a bit more and get them clicking together and just like understanding their way of playing, because obviously Jessie's new in that back four, and then as you said, Megan Campbell isn't really has been in and out of the team the last while, so I think that's the next thing to look at.
I actually have questions around what will happen to the back four. And it's the, like you say, it's the area you want consistency, but we're realistically going to fit Katie back in, left back. Then you're talking about Megan and the leadership she brought. Is it a toss up between Megan and Jessie? And if you're saying this is a longer term project, obviously you're looking at Jessie. Aoife Mannion, who for me is one of the calmest players on the pitch and kind of brings that instruction and the Niamh Fahey element to it. She's also a brilliant centre back, and we've also got Heather Payne to come back in. Now, looking at where we are in terms of wing options, we would probably be better to utilise Heather maybe in a more advanced position, just because Lucy Quinn was good yesterday, but again, not her natural position on the left, and we're struggling a little bit there, so it might be an option to push her on. But that's a bit of a headache coming up. Like, obviously, it's a good headache and you want to have options. But Louise Quinn, she has to come back from injury. She has to make a plan. She has to make a decision, and it's going to be one of the hardest decisions that she does have to make, because that's the one area that we're fairly robust in.
Karen, you know what I'm going to ask you now.
Come on.
If you were to make that decision, what would you be doing? Like, you talked about the differences there in terms of if everyone was fit, you had all your options on the table in front of you, what way are you going? I'll ask Scarlett too if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah, at the moment, like, I don't know. I think if you're looking at getting all your best players on the pitch, you keep Aoife right back, even though I think she could be a really, like, I think she would be an excellent centre half for us, but I think you keep her right back so that you can continue with Stephanie Anna Patton, Katie. And then your question is, are we building for now and do we get as much as we can out of Megan Campbell, or do we look at Jessie as the long-term option? And I don't want to make that decision.
Scarlett, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Karen's three there. Anna Patton, Mannion, and who else did you say?
Katie.
Katie. Oh, Katie. No, she's forgettable. Yeah. She's easy to forget. I'd personally go with Jessie, especially as a centre half. I think that Megan's obviously better as a fullback, in my opinion, and it's hard for her. Obviously, she's against Katie in that area. So I think for a centre half position, I think that we're looking at Jessie. And we haven't even mentioned Caitlin Hayes either, who obviously has fallen out of favour. With Carla for whatever reason, but I think if you're looking at, we're talking about that rebuild, and I know it's like getting the best out of your players at the time, and you're looking at Megan, who probably only has a few years left, but I think even on form, I think Jessie still has a bit to go, obviously, because she's only a young player, but I think that she deserves that starting place at the minute. So I think on form, I think Jessie deserves to be in there.
There probably is an argument too, to be fair, like if you are doing a throw up between Jessie and the other options that you've mentioned there, in that they're all quite experienced, but also, well, Caitlin Hayes, you would say, is the difference there, in that she is a bit younger, and I mean, it might not even matter, because she doesn't seem to be in favour at all with Carla Ward. I mean, if you're looking at the likes of Louise or Megan, you know, you're not expecting 90 minutes necessarily off either of them, and are they... I suppose it's the question of, are they ones that you want coming off the bench and stabilising things, or do you want them stabilising things from the start?
Yeah, you start that type of player. That's in my opinion. And that's why I was a little bit surprised that Rusha didn't start. I know you're managing minutes, but I think that while she's fit and available, she should probably play. But then again, it's the same question as with Megan and what we're looking towards, what we're building towards here. The number six is the position that's rotated the most over the last campaign. Megan, Rusha, Jessie, Tyler, like, they've all had a stint in there at some point, even the Liag. So again, it's another position that needs a bit more stability. Rusha can't do that if we're in a double header window. But when she's fit and available, she is the person who brings that kind of calmness that we need in midfield, and just that spatial awareness. And she's also well able to put in a tackle. So that's another tough one to know what's best to do. You really need to know if we're building for now, which is results game, and get the confidence back up, or if they're looking... If I was Carla, I would continue to try and just get results right now, looking at how things went for Eileen and just how it's a two-year contract and just how fickle, obviously, we all are as football fans. But as a holistic approach, and if the FAI were looking in, I wonder, would they kind of have an eye on the World Cup and kind of encourage a bit more kind of bringing through youth and a bit more of allow the time for a build, which is not what any fan wants.
I was going to say, Scarlett, it's a bit of a difficult one. It's kind of like chicken and the egg, you know.
Yeah, it's really hard.
In that we've seen already the effects of not qualifying for the Euros this summer. If you're going to lose another tournament and lose some of that momentum, it's really hard to convince people to spend money on something that doesn't look like it's being successful in a certain point. But then as well, as we all know, sometimes you need to break everything down before you can actually build it all back up again.
Yeah, like, it's tough. And even last night, you're kind of like, I was looking around town and I was like, feels a little bit empty. Like, I know there was nearly 6,000 there, but we were definitely breaking those numbers pre-Wales disaster. But it's unfortunate, yeah. And I think that was always the sort of the biggest downside maybe of not qualifying, is losing the bounce that we got from the World Cup, and just hoping now that it doesn't fall off completely. But obviously, like, yeah, it needs to, if it's going to be a rebuild, it's gonna take a dip before it goes back up again. But I think if we stay consistent with these results, and if Carla can get us out of this group back into League A, then hopefully the attendance will come back up. And obviously, when you're playing against bigger opposition, it's a bigger appeal. Like, you look at the France game in Parky Kiev last year, like, and the amount that was attracted to that game versus when you're playing a team like Slovenia, I'm just not sure if it'll get the same attention. And that's really what football is. You're obviously, people are going to be attracted to bigger games, and you're not going to be wanting to pay whatever €25 to go watch. You'd rather pay €25 to go watch Ireland play England than Ireland play Turkey or Slovenia on a Friday night, you know?
Yeah, it is definitely, it's a difficult sell. I mean, as much as I obviously want the team to be successful, you would hope, it would be great if we could do these things in tandem, I suppose, that you could still be able to build and bring players through. And maybe it is a case of what you were kind of saying there, Karen, is if you're doing, concentrating on one or two things at a time, maybe it is possible to balance the two a little bit better. I mean, because we've never exactly been a fully developed side either. You know, even when we qualified for the World Cup, there were still plenty of areas where players were younger, or we were like, we could do with a little bit more.
Yeah, we brought
there
in the likes of Sinead Farrelly, you know, like things that plugged the gap, and then Julianne came back after that, and that's always going to be the case. We're always going to be dipping in and trying to find creative ways of plugging the gaps that are very obvious, and they might be short-term solutions. And that's just unfortunately the situation that we're in, because we don't have the established under 23s. Like, if the 23s were there, and they're allowed to be part of competitive competitions, then they're getting that experience and they're getting that exposure to a really high level, the step up becomes a lot easier, becomes a lot more seamless, because you're in and around the same setup. And look, there's so much to go into. I think that, you know, we should all be starting from underage. We should all be learning to play the same system. We're asking about this new system now, and we're saying, oh, the girls were referencing it in some of their interviews and stuff, but it's 4-3-3. And, you know, they were saying it is a mindset shift and all that from playing with a five. But the mindset shift was the fact that we had, like, loads of possession and then knowing what to do with it. Like, that really doesn't have a huge amount to do with our shape. It's just about, like, knowing what each other are doing and patterns and all that. And we don't really have a philosophy that has been brought up through the underage structures right the way to senior. So that's obviously a big ticket item that would need to go back to the drawing board. But yeah, just to go back to the matches, I guess, we take it. We just take the 6 points and we use it as another learning opportunity. It's great to get a learning opportunity and pick up 6 points. So if we're looking to take a positive from it all, you know, we got 6 goals and we now are more aware of some small deficiencies that can be easily worked on.
And we survived a game and a half without Katie.
We survived a game and a half without Katie, yeah.
We're running out of time, unfortunately, but just very briefly as well, just want to mention the under-19s, because we are talking about development, and they were so close yesterday to getting a brilliant win against France. France, they leveled it, and then they scored in, like, the dying moments to get a 2-1 win. But Scarlett, that's... we talk a lot about the development and going from the under-19s into the senior squad and not having that gap and plugging it anymore. But this is exactly why, because this under-19 team is so impressive and has been impressive, and they're getting these sort of results.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, they were brilliant. Obviously, had a bit of a blip against Wales as well, but the thing about
that just don't mention the Welsh anymore on this podcast. Yeah. They're bad.
Yeah, we're just having a bad luck at the minute with Welsh. But yeah, like, they're such a talented group, and you even see, like, watching the game yesterday, and, like, they want it so much, and they're trying so hard. They work so hard together, and it's so disheartening now to obviously have them lose out in the chance of qualifying and overturning such a big nation like France. And it does show us, like, the French are renowned for obviously their football, and it does show us, like, we're close, especially, like, in the underage rankings. Like, I think we can put it up to any team, and that needs to bleed through now to the seniors. Like, why can't we go and take points off big teams in big competitions, you know? And, like, yeah, it's unfortunate now. That's the end of the underage journey for a lot of those girls, and it is the thing of what next for them. Obviously, the development squad is developing at the minute, but we'll have to see what happens with that. But it's obviously a disappointing end to a few of those girls' underage careers with Ireland. Obviously, they'd want to qualify like they did last year, because that was such a great journey for all of them, and obviously such a great experience, and really gave us a boost as well, like, to know that our underage teams, like, I don't think we've qualified since maybe it was 2012, 2014, so it shows us we're right up there at the underage levels. And if the underage teams can build up through the ranks and be a successful nation, like, why can't all those players go through to the senior setup and give us the same success?
Exactly that. I must offer my apologies to Brona, who very kindly stepped in to produce this podcast today and has a lot of Welsh family, so we won't totally bad Wales from this podcast. Karen, Scarlett, thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the peace in between international breaks. We'll obviously be back with all the action from the WSL. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. We will chat to you all again very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball, in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.